This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Today I want to talk to you about renewed vision. Renewed vision. And that word renewed is to make something, you know, come back or restore, to make something come back to life. And I think sometimes in our lives, we can lose, the dreams that we have, and we can sometimes allow just the circumstances of life to kind of darken the dreams that we have. And so today I want to talk to you about, you know, renewing your vision and getting a fresh vision for your life. And, you know, even me, I'm always working on goals, and you should be very goal-oriented. I think there's three areas that we should be working on. This isn't in my notes, but I'm going to give you this free this morning. We should be always working on having fruitful relationships. Our relationships should be a good goal. Amen. In other words, walking in love, walking in mercy, forgiving one another. You know, unity is the key to the blessing, the Bible says. So we got to have a goal that we, you know, married couples always be working on keeping that relationship fresh, you know. Guys, take your gals out to Burger King every once in a while, or to a nice restaurant. Glory to God. Amen. Whatever your restaurant is. Amen. And the ladies are like, yeah, Burger King. Amen. Home of the Whopper. And is that right? No. Maybe it's that Hardee's. What is that? Isn't the Hardee's where it's that big hamburger and that pretty lady is biting into that big hamburger? Anybody ever seen that? Okay. Monster Burger or something like that. Anyway, whatever. I know ladies like to eat meat too. Is that right?
Yes.
You guys like steak. Amen? And amen. Who doesn't, right? Yeah, I see the ladies nodding. And so today we're going to have some, I don't know if we're going to have some steak today, but I know that, are we? We got steak. So hang tight, and we're going to try to make this message as short as possible so we can go eat. Amen? And because I have a vision of a banquet table filled, glory to God. Amen. Now you're saying, Pastor, you're getting a little carnal here. Amen. Well, we've been fasting for 3 weeks. It's time to feast. Amen. And so let's go ahead. Let's look at Proverbs 29:18. And I'm going to say this, and then the third goal, did I get all my goals? Relationships, your health. You should always be working on staying healthy. I have a goal to try to work out 3 times a week. Sometimes I don't get that. I don't get there. But I try to. I'm always working at trying to eat healthy. So we should have goals in our health or relationships. And then we should also have financial goals. Amen. And one of the financial goals that, one of the things, you know, I read the Bible. I study the Bible. And the Bible says that we should have an inheritance for our children's children. And so when I read that, that tells me that I need to be an investor. That tells me that I need to start putting money into investments so I can have an inheritance for my children's children. So I'm not just working for myself. I'm working for my seed. Amen. Amen? So we're working for generations to come. Amen? And so, vision is really the key. One person was driving by in a neighborhood and saw a house. The grass was overgrown. It looked like the house wasn't taken care of. It looked really just just not taken care of. And the person just thought about that. And the person and the Spirit of the Lord said, "You know what his problem is?" And he said, "No." He said, "His problem is not that he doesn't have any money to fix the place up. Is that he doesn't have any vision." And so the bottom line is, you know, the poorest person is not the person without a job. It's the person without a vision. Can I talk to you this morning? The poorest, you know, you may say, I don't have a job. No. What you need is a vision. Because if you get a vision, you can create your own job. Oh, I'm talking today. Are you hear what I'm saying today? It's not that, you know, a job is not holding you back. It's vision. It's not having a vision for your life. Amen. And when you have a vision, you can start off with nothing and end up with something. Isn't that right? I think about my my wife's parents. You know, my wife is Vietnamese. And her parents, actually, they escaped with, you know, with her children, with Yin and all that, back in that day, they were trying to recruit people into the Viet Cong, and he didn't want to be drafted into the army in Vietnam, and so him and his wife, Yin's parents, escaped, and they were refugees, and they came over to America, and they didn't speak any English, you know, barely spoke English, let's put it that way, and they came to this country barely making it, just surviving, and government support. And so they were refugees, but now they're living, Yin went to college, her sister went to college, her brother went to college, her parents own houses. They opened up they figured out how to do their own nail business. You know, Vietnamese are good with doing nails. And so they learned a trade, and now they are doing very well. But it took a risk for them to escape their country. So anytime you're going to step out in doing anything, it's going to be a risk. There's going to be risks involved there. You know, anytime you decide to do, I'm just coming out to church today, there's a risk that you could have slipped. And some of you may have slipped walking, because I was sliding. When I was getting to the car, putting some food in there, I was sliding. I'm like, oh my Lord Jesus. I said, I hope nobody gets hurt coming to church today. And I was going to send out a little text, push through. And I said, no, I don't want anybody getting hurt. So I'm not going to send that text out. And are you hearing what I'm saying? But you guys push through. Amen. Yes. So the poorest person is not the person that doesn't have a job. It's a person that doesn't have a vision. And so God is so awesome. He wants to give us vision for our life. And his word will give us vision. Yes. Amen. And so in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. This New King James Version. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And so I like that. So really, in other words, we don't have a vision, we will perish. We need a vision to keep us going. You need to keep running on goals and dreams. We should never stop running on goals and dreams. Amen. Amen. I like what the Message says. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Amen. And so what's really cool about God is God knows who we are. And God knows what he has put in us. And what we have to do when we seek him, he reveals to us his plans for our life. And he shows us what he wants us to have. Amen? And then we need to start moving towards those things. When we spend time with God, and when you spend time in your prayer time, I want to encourage you, I say this a lot, have a notebook where you can write down what God is saying and what God is doing and what God is revealing to you. Amen? And write down things when you're in prayer, and God can reveal, so you can go back to look at some of these things when you're discouraged. Because I'm going to say this, on the road to you obtaining your dream, there will be some discouragement. Amen. Can I say that again? There's going to be some setbacks.
Yes, amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? There are going to be times where you're going to want to quit. It just has anybody been there?
Yes.
I've been there a few times. Amen. And there's going to be times where you just want to throw in the towel. Amen. So what we have to do is we need to write down our visions. They say, or our dreams. And what some say is that people that write it down will accomplish more than people that don't. So I want to encourage you to write down what you're believing God for. Write down that you're going to have, you know, great relationships, and that you're going to have a healthy bodies, and that you're going to have financial blessings. Amen. And so write down these things and start believing God, because God wants you to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to write them down. Amen. Number one, dreams are languages of God. In other words, God communicates lots of times to us through dreams and visions. He communicates through us to us through words, such as prophetic words, such as what, you know, we had a word today from the Lord. And the Lord is revealing to us that he's doing things behind the scenes. He's working things out and that he's preparing us for harvest. How many people are being prepared for harvest in here? Amen. You're getting ready for harvest. Amen. And so God is preparing us for a breakthrough harvest. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about that. I'm getting ready for that. I really believe most of life is based on events. Amen. In other words, yes, there is day-to-day mundane things that we do every day that we go through life. But really, what makes life exciting is that we work towards events. Amen. And you'll find out like our wedding when I got married to Yen. You know, it took some time to put it all together. All this money, the photographers, everything to get it all together. It took months to plan it, but it all happened all in one day. You know, I mean, all this planning, all this money, one day. And I'm going to say this, that even in our walk in our faith, we're all planning. I say this quite often. We are planning until we see Jesus. We are all going to die unless Jesus comes back. Amen. If Jesus tarries, we all are. There's nobody's going to escape death.
That's right.
Amen. We're all headed there. But hopefully while we're headed there, we're getting prepared to be there.
Amen.
In other words, to get to the other side. In other words, you guys are being prepared for ready for that last day until you're about ready to see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this. I pray, I worship every day. I pray, I read my Bible every day. And I'm going to continue to do that every day until my last day on earth. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to be doing the same thing. I've gotten into a mode now. I've been a pastor for 15 years. I used to just run my days without spending time in the Word, without spending time in, I got grace, you know. And, I learned some things like, then the enemy starts working against me. And then, I start getting in the flesh more. And I start learning, I need to start spending more time with God. Because, the enemy is working. And now I'm in a place in my life where every day I spend in God's Word, every day I spend worshiping God, every day I spend praying. Every day. Very rarely do I miss a day in that. And I believe that I'll still be doing the same thing on the last day I'm here on earth. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Well, you better get there. Because what are you going to do on your last day on earth? Same thing, watch TV, complain about everything. And no, don't be like that.
Right. Amen.
No. You need to be as excited on the last day on earth that you're going to be here as you are today. Amen?
Yes, yes.
Like one person said, that he had a vision. It was a pastor. He had a vision that Jesus was coming back, that Jesus came back and, because he's coming back, right? And it's called the rapture. And he's going to be coming in the air, right? And we're going to meet him up in the air. And he saw Jesus up there. And his revelation was, wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, when you see Jesus, that's where you're at. And hopefully you're not backslidden.
Amen.
You're not shrinking back.
Amen.
Hopefully, hello, are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Hopefully you're still fired up. Hopefully you're not just here for the physical food we're going to eat, which is going to be awesome. Hopefully you're here for the spiritual food. We'll continue.
Yes. Amen.
So dreams are languages of God. In other words, God communicates a lot of times to us through dreams, visions, and through words. Amen. And so in Acts 2:17, I love this, and I pray this almost daily. It says, and this is for revival for the church, because I'm praying that God's going to revive the church. I'm praying that God's going to put it on us.
Yes,
and so it says here, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, I know we got some older guys in here, and they're not going to claim that they're old men. But, and don't be calling your spouse an old lady. Okay, we'll continue. My old lady. Okay, listen. Don't be saying my old lady. You know, my old man. No, no, that old man, Paul talks about the old man, and that old man is that man that died when you received Jesus. So you got no old man. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. But I understand what he's saying here. He said old man will dream dreams. In other words, those that are more older will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. And so the key is that God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through visions and dreams. And I remember that John, this was years ago, and Joe and Ann Warren started this church many years ago. And Pastor Joe walked in the Spirit. He walked in the giftings of the Lord. And he was praying for John. I don't know why John went up there, but John went out in the Spirit. The Spirit of God hit him. And sometimes when people come up, the power of God will hit you. I mean, he's not there to hurt you. He's there to knock something out of you that shouldn't be there, or he's there to bless you. Amen? Sometimes we just, you know, we need a God encounter. Yes. And sometimes when the flesh encounters God or the glory of God, you know, something goes. And it's normally us. And so John just fell out, and John had a vision. And now I can't say that I've ever had a vision like John did. And John had a vision of the church, and he had a vision. I believe that I don't know if I was ministering. I may have been ministering. And then the church service, the joy of the Lord came into the, just rolled into the church service. And all of a sudden, everybody in the church started laughing, you know, as in they were joyful. And it was like heaven. Because the Bible says, you know, that heaven is going to be joyful. So everybody was joyful, and they were laughing, and they started laughing louder and louder. And John said that it revealed that these demonic spirits started fleeing from Virginia Beach area.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And they started flying all out. Why? There's a lot of demons out here. Amen. There are a lot of angels, but there's a lot of demons too. A lot of people don't realize that. That's why we, you know, it's called spiritual warfare. That's why we pray, because there are demonic powers that are trying to keep us from moving forward in God,
Amen.
Trying to keep the church from moving forward.
Yes.
Amen. And so that's why we pray. Amen. And so, and then he saw the church, and the church was an outline. It looked like a crown. Amen. Because, you know, I preach a lot about our authority in Christ. And so it's like that new church building, and it was shaped like a crown, which represents, you know, authority. And so, and it was bright, and everything else around was dark. And so what I believe that vision was is that God is going to do, you know, bring revival into Exceed Life Church.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're going to end up touching, I believe we could end up touching nations.
Yes, God.
Amen. And anybody ever heard of the Brownsville Revival? You know, that was a Pentecostal church in Brownsville, Florida. And they kept praying for revival. And they had hundreds of thousands of people. It's put them on the map. And it happened on Father's Day. And so, can God do the same thing here? Why not? Why? I just say, why not? Amen. Just believe. Amen. Only believe and you'll see the glory of God. Number two, dreams are the target of faith. So dreams are the target of our faith. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, even people that aren't saved or Christians that are successful in the world, they have dreams.
Amen.
You know, I think about Arnold Schwarzenegger and anybody ever heard, you know, Arnold, get to the choppa, you know. he has that heavy accent, choppa. You know, he has that heavy accent. And he was a bodybuilder, you know, a professional bodybuilder. And he won Mr. Universe, I think, 6 times. And so this guy, and he started out and he saw these magazines of these bodybuilders when he was in his teens. And he saw these guys, and there was one guy that he wanted to be like, and this guy was in movies. He was in, like, the Hercules movies. And he saw, and he said, I'm going to be just like this person. And he didn't have muscles back then. He never even lifted a weight in his life. He was normal size. Amen? But he saw this. And he started looking at it. He said, I'm going to be like this guy. I'm going to be a bodybuilder. I'm going to work out. And I remember he gave a story of that when he first went out and he went to the gym. And the guy said, we're going to work you out. And they worked him out so hard because they wanted to teach him a lesson. You know, that we're going to work him out. And they worked him out so hard he couldn't even ride his bike back. They basically played a big joke on him. He was like a 14-year-old kid. And anytime you start trying to do something, there's going to be people that are going to try to keep you from doing it. There's going to be people that's going to try to ridicule you, or there's going to be people that's going to try to play jokes on you and say, hey, you're not going to do it. But even though he went through this process, you know, he learned how to work out. And he ended up becoming a bodybuilder, 1 in 6 time. And then he said, now it's time for him to move into movies. And now he's taking acting lessons and trying to learn how to speak, you know, without that heavy accent. And then, you know, he ended up playing Terminator, so he didn't really need to change his accent. But anyway, what happened? When he went to them, they said, we don't need anybody like you. You're big, you're bulky. No, you're not going to make it in the movies. I think they tell people this all the time. The people that seem like that they will never make it. Fred Astaire, you know, and Gene Kelly. Some of these people were said, you will never make it. And they kept pushing and pushing until they made it. Right. I'm going to say this. Keep pushing and pushing until you make it. Amen. Amen. And so he made it. The underdog story. And then that's when that Conan the Barbarian came out. Remember that movie? And they said we had to build an actor, but Arnold was already built for the part. And so the bottom line was that's where his career just took off. Amen. And so it's a matter of just keep pushing and pushing until you see it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You got to get a vision of it. I like about Jesus and Jesus. You know, he came onto the scene and he was, you know, the Savior. He is the Savior of the world. But he had to go to the cross. And so Jesus knew that it's amazing about Jesus. Jesus was really on the scene for 3 years. You know, you got a lot of these people that's been on the scene for many years that people know about, you know, the secular people. But Jesus was on the scene for 3 years. And Christianity is still the number one religion in the entire world. Amen. The Bible is the number one selling book in the entire world. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And Jesus was only here three years without any social media. I mean, he got there without any social media. Can you believe that? Amen. And so, but Jesus had to go through some stuff. And I was thinking about this. Did you know that when he started out, he knew that he was headed to the cross? Amen. Right? And so he knew that because what kept him motivated? Hebrews 12:2. You see, we're going to have to go through some pain, amen, to get the prize. Amen. No cross, no crown. So in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's saying this because he's saying that we need to keep looking at Jesus when we're moving towards what God is calling us to do. And then he says, then he brings Jesus in for who joy that was set before him endured the cross. So what is that joy that was set before Jesus to endure the cross? It was us. Amen. The joy was us being a part of his family. Amen. The joy of us was being with him. Amen. The joy is that we're going to be at the banquet table with him. The joy is with us ruling and reigning with him forever and ever. The joy. In other words, that was the joy. He knew he had to go to the cross so that he could have the joy of us being with him. Do you know how many people are against him? Do you know how many people are working against God? Do you know how many people that are stubborn and stiff-necked and that don't want to walk with God, don't want anything to do with God, won't be seen, won't be darkened the door of a church? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people like that. We need to keep praying for them. We need to keep walking in love towards them. Amen. We want to pray for them, walk in love, and do whatever we can to try to get them in, to reveal that God is really good, that God's not doing it to them. Amen. That God is here to help us and bless us. Amen. And so number three, dreams have a habit of coming true. You know, Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. And so I like that. And think about this. Think about Joseph. And remember, Joseph had a dream. And he dreamed that he was actually going to be a ruler. And he dreamed that he was going to rule over his brothers. Finally, he dreamed that he was going to rule over his entire family. And he had this dream. And, of course, he was a little cocky in the very beginning, talking about his dream. And his brothers got jealous. And remember that? His brothers threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. And we know the story. He ended up becoming a slave in Potiphar's house. And then it went from bad to worse. Potiphar's house to the prison. Now, it doesn't look like his dream was going to ever come to pass. Amen. It looked bad. I mean, it went from bad to worse. Have you ever felt like you were in a place and you were in a good place and now you're in a worse place? Have you ever been there like, God, you know, I woke up in such a good mood. You know, I don't know what happened today, you know. And so sometimes it goes from bad to worse at times.
That's right.
But hold on. The Bible says things are going to be shaken, but hold on. Keep holding on to the unchanging hand of Jesus. Keep holding on. Stand fast in the liberty which God has brought you into. Don't let go. Too many people throw in the towel way too early. Don't let go. Keep staying in there. Glory to God. Stick in there. Keep pushing. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing. And Joseph, it was an impossible situation. He was in the prison. And then he was able, you guys remember the story, the baker and the cupbearer came in. And then he interpreted both their dreams. And his interpretations were right. Right? The baker got killed and the cupbearer got put back in his position. And remember what Joseph said, remember me when you get to the Pharaoh. Remember me, tell him I got a gift. And they forgot about him for two more years. Like, what? He was in two more years in prison. Why? Because he was molding his character in that 2 years. See, some of us, man, I'm about ready to get out of my chair today. Some of you are, you know, you're in the pressure cooker because you're in the character building process of your life. Some of you, your character is being built. But Pastor, I don't want my character being built. You got to have good character because your gift may take you there, but it's your character that will keep you there. There's a lot of people that have giftings and they're shooting stars. Whoop! Come back down. I don't want to be a shooting star. Just come all the way up. Woo, yeah. What happened to that guy?
Amen.
You got people that have mega church, mega pastors. You don't even know where they're at anymore. What happened? Well, the gift took them there, but the character didn't keep them there. Just one mistake. I knew it just as one guy that had this big, huge church. And I'm telling you, thousands of people. And that one mistake of adultery, and that's all it took. And that whole ministry crumbled. Wow. And he took 15 years of building, 15, 20 years of faithfulness and one stupid act of adultery. Think about that. One act destroyed 15, 20 years of building. That's why we got to guard our hearts. Amen. That's why we got to make sure that we protect the anointing, protect the grace that God has placed on our life. Psalms 105, 17 and 22 says it this way, talking about Joseph. He sent a man before them, Psalms 105, 17 through 22. I know I'm moving pretty fast. Glory to God. See how fast they get it up there. Psalms 105, 17 through 22. Bring your Bibles next week. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, I'm messing. Did they get it up there? Hey, Psalms 105, 17 through 22. I move fast through my notes because I'm not opening a Bible. So Psalms 105, 17 through 22. I'm going to start. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent him and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free, made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind all his princesses and his pleasure and at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So here it's saying here that Joseph was sold as a slave. His feet was hurt with fetters. He was laid in irons until the word of the Lord came to pass. So in other words, there's going to be a process of pain before we see the pleasure. Can I say that again? I'm telling you, doesn't the Bible say weeping endures in the night? Why is there weeping at night? Because sometimes praying is not easy. Amen. It's not easy fasting and praying and seeking God and crying out to God. You know, it takes work. Amen. It takes your soul. You're out there, you're praying, you're fasting, you're in sackcloth and ashes. Well, you know what I'm talking about. But and weeping endures the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. Sowing time is hard. It's the reaping time that's fun. Isn't that right? I mean, when you sow and are working out and you're working out and your body's getting in shape and you're losing weight and all that, and now you're able to fit in those skinny jeans or that nice dress, ladies. All that work paid off. Now, it's more than just getting skinny. It's getting healthy.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to make sure that we don't get discouraged in the process of our dreams. Amen. There's reasons why we get discouraged. One of the reasons is we have the wrong view of life. We focus on the problems of our life or the inactivity of the promise in our lives. So what happens is we focus on what's not happening. And what happens? We get discouraged. Right? It's just like, man, it's same day. Different day, but same stuff, right? Right, different day, same stuff. Other people say it a different way, but basically what I'm saying, same day, different. In other words, the mundane, you know, the enemy would say, is it really paying off? Is your fasting really paying off? Is your prayers really paying off? Has anything changed since you've been doing these things? Well, all I know is my mom prayed for our whole family to get saved back in 77, and it was back, it took 10 years, 86, and all of us, all her children, came into the kingdom of God. All got saved in 1 year. Well, that was 10 years. Yeah, 10 years, but we all came in, and we're all still serving God. Amen. So what I'm saying, well, she prayed back in 77, wrote it down, put us on a prayer thing, And all of a sudden we get saved. Well, that because she prayed for us. And then she cast her cares on the Lord. Amen. Of course, it was good because, you know, she didn't have to worry about us because she had John late in life. And John came around in 77. Amen. So he was a whole new thing. Amen. And number two, the reason why we give up on our dreams is we have a wrong view of self. Number one, we have a wrong view of life. We allow life to cloud us. We have a wrong view of self. We encounter setbacks and disappointments, problems, and we forget that God is with us. We never leave. He will never leave us or forsake us, no matter how hard it looks. So no matter what, I like that. Does anybody ever remember seeing reading that poem about the footprints? Yeah. And you have like two sets of footprints. And it said, you know, in that poem, it talks about, God, where were you at in all my hard times? And then it came to one set of footprints. And he said, well, in the hard times, I was carrying you. Do you remember that? And a lot of times we don't realize that he was carrying us in our hard times. In other words, he's carrying you in the hard times. He's bringing you through. He's keeping your mind intact from going cuckoo. He's keeping you in a good place. Remember Naomi and Ruth? Remember the story of Naomi and Ruth? And yes. Naomi, you know, there was a famine in Israel, so she moved to another country, to the Moabite country, and then her two sons married Moabite women. And then all of a sudden, her husband dies, and then her two sons die, and then she's a widow, and she has two daughter-in-laws, and she told them to go back, but go find men because you're young. And one of them, Ruth, said, I won't go back. I'm going to stay with you. Your God's going to be my God. I won't let go of you. And she, that was the grace of God. And you know, Naomi didn't recognize the grace of God. She didn't recognize it because she said, change my name to Mara, which means that God has dealt bad with me. And so, and she was depressed and she came back dejected. Back to her home town in Israel. She came back and she had nothing, but she had Ruth. She didn't realize that. And then Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And then she ended up having the mother-in-law suite. So don't ever give up. Yeah, maybe some things may happen. I don't really think it's God coming against us. I think it's the enemy trying to steal from us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So at the end, Ruth was blessed. And I'm going to say this. You will be blessed if you don't give up on the promises of God. You are not your circumstances. You are not what other people say that you are. You are what God says that you are. The Bible says you are the head and not the tail. Say, I believe that. The Bible says you're the lender and not the borrower. Say, I believe that. The Bible says you are blessed in the city and in the field. Say, I believe that. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror in Christ. I believe that. The Bible says you are called out people. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're victorious in Christ. You have to start identifying with who you are in Christ. Don't identify with your problems. You're not your problem. Amen. No, you are becoming what God called you to be. And we need to start identifying with that. Yeah. And you're not going to identify with that until you're in the Word of God and God starts revealing to you who you are. Yeah. You're not going to figure that out watching Gunsmoke every night or whatever you watch. Amen. Number three, we get the wrong view of God. We limit God's power in our experiences. We start thinking that God, not even God, can do anything in this situation. Not even God can change my spouse. Not even God can change my kids. Not even God can change my boss. No, God can.
Amen.
I'm sure there were people there saying, no way can God do anything with Saul of Tarsus. That guy is going to be burning in hell. That guy that's taking people into jail, that Saul of Tarsus, well, he ain't going to make it. I'm sure there was a lot of Christians thinking that way. God, deliver us from this guy, this Saul of Tarsus that's throwing us in jail and persecuting the creature. And then what did God do? He knocked him off his horse. Most people say, well, I've never seen that in the scripture that Paul got knocked off a horse. Well, it doesn't actually say that, but it sounds good. It says he got knocked to the ground. We don't know if he was walking, but I'm sure that he was. It sounds like get knocked off your high horse of pride, right? It sounds good for the preacher. Amen. Just go with it, all right? And nobody thought that Saul of Tarsus would become Paul the Apostle. Nobody thought that Saul of Tarsus would become Paul that writes 2/3 of the New Testament, that gets all this revelation from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's sitting at the table with Jesus. Nobody thought this. And I'm telling you, you may be thinking, well, my kids will never be. You know, your kids might be a Saul of Tarsus. But I'm telling you, they're going to be turning to Paul the Evangelist. Paul the Apostle. You just got to believe that. God can do it. Do you believe that God can work out the impossible with your kids? He can. Can you believe that God can work out the impossible with your boss? He can. You say, no, not my boss. Well, you might become the boss. If he doesn't change, maybe God will make you the boss. Amen. Glory. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So don't have a wrong view of God. Get a right view of God. Know that this, that God is good. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He's benevolent. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. The God that's more than enough. He's the God that wants to overflow blessings in your life. My cup overflows. He's the God of more than enough. The Bible says you lay down your life for God, you will have houses and lands with an S, plural, and people that will be like family members. God will increase us. Do you believe that? So we got to overcome it. We know if we're going to pursue our dreams, we got to overcome the risk factor. We got to just step out and just believe that God's going to be with us. Yeah. Even though it may not work. Amen. Anybody doing anything that may not work? It doesn't look like it's working. But keep doing it, you know, until it starts to work. Amen. To operate in God's dream, we have to make sure that God's involved in it. You know, make sure that he's working with you, that he's bringing people to help you with it. Amen? Thank God. Listen, I know God's with me. I'm a pastor, but thank God I have good people here. I show up and Steve's back there. Amen? And we're training a new person with the sound, glory to God. Got to give him some grace, glory to God. Amen. So I'm telling you, God is so good. We got people here, you know, that are faithful coming out. We got our worship team. Thank God for our worship team. Thank God for our teachers. Thank God for our ushers. I'm telling you, I couldn't do it all by myself. I am so thankful for each one of you. Because God will add people to help you out in your dreams of life. Amen. And I'm telling you, your dream will change people's lives. You know, listen, I'm just going to close this down by saying this, that, you know, Moses was called to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen. And so God really wanted Moses to bring them in, but Moses had some issues with anger. Remember that? And Moses, he was able to get them out of the bondage of the Egyptians and bring them into the wilderness, moving into the promised land, right? But see, Moses, he was moving towards that dream. But even though Moses didn't actually go into the promised land, his faith moved the children of Israel into the promised land. In other words, his faith moved Joshua and Caleb to be people that were leaders to bring the children of Israel. In other words, his faith was transported into Caleb and Joshua. Now, I'm going to say this to you today, that you may not get there, you know, per se, to where you believe, but your children might. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? You may not get to the place that you, the promised land that you, but your children, but your faith can be instilled into your children, and they can get there. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? You know, I mean, God is doing awesome things. And so our faith can be transmitted into our children. And so as we walk in faith and, you know, and hopefully our children are going to be better off than us financially, health-wise, in their relationships, and expanding the kingdom of God, be greater. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? A lot, you know, you look at different ministers, and I think about Jensen Franklin and Jensen dad had a church that was probably about 100 people. Church that he served for over 20 years or 30 years. And it was a small local church. But Jensen Franklin has a mega church. And Jensen said, I would never be here if it wasn't for my dad's faithfulness. Of the seeds of faithfulness. I don't know what God has in store for me personally. I believe that God's going to expand this. But if not, if it's just me preaching to you guys until Jesus comes back, great. And maybe God's going to raise up one of my kids to do the mega church. I don't know. But I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep doing what God's calling me to do. I'm not going to give up because I don't see all the numbers. Bible says don't put your faith in men, put your faith in God. Yeah. Don't put your faith in the crowds. Yeah. Don't put your faith in your money. Put your faith in God. Yeah. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? My faith isn't in people. My faith is in God. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's good today because, you know, some of us are upset. You know, we're thinking about people are good and God can use people. But regardless, if a person doesn't come through for you, God can. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And God is raising up people. In the end days, they're going to do great and mighty exploits. You believe that today? And he's raising this church up. And I'm praying. I'm believing that God's going to make me a millionaire.
Thank you, Lord.
But I'm not only believing that God's going to make me, not for me to, look, I got millions. No, because I want to be able to use my money to expand the kingdom of God. Oh, you hear what I say? I want my millions to go ahead and buy some land, have our own building, maybe our own gym. Yeah. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Glory to God. Have all the amenities, maybe even a bowling alley.
Amen.
You know, I don't know. But whatever God wants, we can do it. And I said, Lord, instead of me praying, Lord, bring in a millionaire to help me fund my vision. Lord, make me a millionaire so I can fund my vision.
Amen.
And then I'm praying that God makes you millionaires. Why am I praying that God? Because you guys are giving in and you're millionaires. And you got 10 millionaires making $1 million a year. That's going to be $1 million coming into the church. Because that's 100,000 tithe off the $1 million. And then we're going to really be blowing and going. Why can't God make you a millionaire? Why not? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I'm telling you, we're raising up millionaires. Now, not just millionaires, financial millionaires, millionaires in the spirit realm. People that are going to walk in the faith of God. People that are going to cast out devils. People that are going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. People that are going to be pulling people out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's what we're raising up. Millionaires in the spirit realm and also in the natural realm. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God can do it?
Yes.
God is doing it. We got great people in this church. God is raising us up. And we haven't seen anything yet. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are raising us up to do great and mighty things for you. And Father God, we're here to make your name famous. And we know, Father, as we endeavor to do that, your word says that you will actually make our name famous as we make your name famous. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for you, Lord. But I know, Father, as we give you the amount of glory we give you, you put that glory back on us. And so, Father, I just pray that each person here in the audience and those that are watching online will understand and give value to giving you glory every day. And perhaps you're watching today online, or perhaps you're here in the audience and you know that you haven't been giving God 100%. God is not really first place in your life. And so, or maybe you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord, you know, he's not really your Lord. So today the Bible says is a day of salvation. And so I want to encourage you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Start walking with God. And perhaps you're out there and you're not in church, you don't have a pastor. I want to encourage you, you know, if God is moving on your heart to pray this prayer, to get into a good church home. Amen. If not this church, some church that preaches the truth of God's word. So just pray this prayer after me and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with the fullness of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.